Amen. There's something very prophetic going on right now. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this time to gather with all the elders, all the leaders, all those that want to participate. Lord, you're going to do something tonight. Lord, you're starting something for 2017. Come on, let's just all raise our hands and give him glory, give him honor, give him thanks, give him praise. It's all because of you that we're meeting here tonight, Lord God. We give you praise for what you're going to even accomplish tonight. The anointing, because you're here in this place, in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Give high five to two or three people around you. And then let's give a shout out to Pastor Nicole and Mark, given to worship. Mike. Welcome. Spirit of God is here. Is something in the atmosphere that the Lord's going to be doing. Amen. Hey, we want to welcome everybody to Team Gateway Rally, first quarter 2017. We're glad everybody's here, and so I believe it's going to be a blessed time. Our agenda is very simple. We're going to celebrate some things that the Lord has done over the last several months. We're going to recognize some people. We're going to hear some testimonies. Pastor David's going to fire us up with what's coming prophetically, and then we're going to get a glimpse into what's coming here in the future. So we got people here that are veterans, people that have been around a long time. We got some brand new people here. Where's Beverly? Beverly, where are you? Stand up, Beverly. Comes to welcome weekend this morning. She says, can I come to your Team Gateway? She's just brand new. Let's give it up for Beverly. Amen. Kurt, come on up. We got Kurt Davis. Is Ruthie Klein in the house? I don't see. Come on up here, Ruthie Klein. Come on up here. And then Pastor John. Hey, let's hear from some people as to what God has done over the last quarter here. Come on up. Ruthie Klein,
hey.
Tell us what's going on. You got a story to tell.
Yeah, sure. I got lots of them. I'll narrow it down, though. We have been serving, my husband and I, for, I don't know, probably under 10 years, but in children's and youth ministry. And, gosh, the one thing that I'd love to share that has blown me away about working in ministry is the change that has happened in my life. I wasn't expecting that. Oh, I'm going to help the kids and encourage them and pray with them. And the change that I saw in me along the way, learning how to love the hard cases and pray for them and see a heart change in myself. Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. And then coming from kids ministry into youth ministry, I just wanted to follow those kids because I fell in love with them. So we went right along with them. And it was funny because there's this one kid that was a challenge for everybody. And I made it known with some of the leaders, like, somebody's going to have to call someone to that kid because I am not graced for that. and it's funny how we're just kind of thick-headed sometimes. We don't get it after a while we get it. And I was like, oh, God, I think you made me aware of that because you wanted me to do something about it. So I started praying, and I'm just like, God, I don't know. I don't have anything in common with this child, like, it gets under my skin, all of that. But I prayed about it. And then one night after small groups, an opportunity came. And it was just me, and it was just this kid, and it was time to love them, find out what's going on with them. And it was amazing because they shared with me some of the same struggles that I had as a youth. I mean, like, it was the same thing. And I was able to say, dude, God brought me through this. God can bring you through this. You're not alone. And it was just like God totally flipped the situation from what I thought I knew. And then he showed me what he knew and what he could do. And he's still doing it every time we get together with these kids.
Amen. Let's give it up for Ruthie Klein. Champion. God bless. Kurt Lard, Darlene Davis, you guys have got a home group that is just rocking. That's what we hear. That's a rumor mill around here. Tell us what's going on.
Well, good evening. Pastor David, thank you for giving me your time slot. This will just take 25 minutes or so. And
30 seconds. Yeah, come on.
So Darlene and I have been, different variations of home groups through the years. But in the last couple of years, he just kind of said, okay, now I'm ready. The season is ready for you to kind of move forward. And so looking back on it, I was saying, well, what what did he actually do? So I actually wrote a list of five quick things, and I'll just rattle through them together. The first thing he did is he started to build relationships. That was really the core thing.
Yeah.
In a big church, that can be hard sometimes, can't it? To get relationships and to meet people and not just pass them in the hall and get a little deeper. So as our group kind of expanded, we saw those relationships really start to knit together. And build something important. And what came out of that was community. So what's community? People start to trust one another.
Yeah.
They start to share their joys, their sorrows, their issues, their challenges. So you can see a community starting to come out of those relationships. And then God blessed us with really diverse insight. We have people in their 20s. We've had people up to their 70s from several different races, just different cultures, married, singles. So it's really, really diverse. And it's a wonderful flavor of God's creation. And the insight that we get out of it is amazing because we're pulling from all this, from all these walks of life. So when you put those together, then we get growth.
Yeah.
So now people are growing in the Lord. They're getting revelation about their giftings, their purpose, their destiny, what God's calling them to. And once they reach that level, you can almost, sometimes you get that spiritual sigh like, that's how God made. That's why I'm knit together this way.
Yeah.
And from that point, they're equipped. That's kind of the final stage. Now you're equipped to go out and do what God has called you to do and position you. And so we've seen that flavor in our group, and it's just been a marvelous blessing to us, but to the people that are in it. But we just hope that every group kind of gets a hold of that and goes with it.
Preach.
So, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, good. God bless. Let's give it up for the Davises. Garlene. You know, we got maybe 40 to 60 groups, depending on how you count it, and that's our prayer for every one of them here. Amen. Hey, Pastor John's here. Let's give a shout out to the man of God. Tell us what's going on.
You know, we have so many healing ministries here at the church. We're like the best kept secret. We have so much stuff, and every healing ministry actually has a training package to it. People could be trained in just everything that we do. And so we brought it together under one umbrella called the Gateway Healing Network. And under that umbrella, we were able to do a new ministry called Gateway Healing Center that we just had a grand opening on the 15th of January. And it was pretty exciting where things were able to start. We had 58 people sign up, and we're kind of prepared for 68. And we had 276 souls in the building. And so it was a little bit of chaotic, but God was not bothered at all.
Nope.
His presence showed up. It was extremely powerful. I couldn't even get out of the building. It took me like an hour and a half to get out of the building after everything was shut down because people were stopping me and telling me how God had touched them. Since then, I've been hearing of some physical healings, and I've told each one that had a doctor associated with it, go to the doctor. Bring back the information. So we're waiting to hear from some really heavy duty stuff. And it's starting to roll. So I just want to praise God about that. And also I want to invite you. Some of you I see were there, and some of you weren't there yet. And so I want to invite you to come and get touched. And then there's people that are sitting here that I want you to come get touched, because everybody who ministers gets touched, but we need more help. Okay. You might be that person. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor John. Amen. You watch. God's got his hand on the healing center. That thing's gonna really make a major impact. Nobody's doing what Pastor John's doing with his team in the South Bay. So there's more to come. Here's my lovely wife, Grow Track Director, Pastor Carol Cobb. What do you got here?
Well, you know, here at Gateway, we inspire transformed lives. Amen? And one of the ways that we do that is with our Grow Track program, which is our series of classes in the fundamentals of discipleship. And so tonight we want to recognize 29 people who have completed all four classes in the Grow Track series. That's Grow Track 1, Discovering My Purpose, Grow Track 2, Empowering My Purpose, Grow Track 3, Making Disciples, and Grow Track 4, Discovering My Shape. And our graduates are Matthew Bocanegra, Donna Brown, Gina Carnegie, Kenny Chow and Millie Chow, Charlene Figone, Andrew Figone, Nancy Forster, Christina Frausto, Guy Frausto, Adriana Herrera, Arturo Herrera, Lois Kerrigan, Mark Lee, Maytak Louie, Mona Padron, Josie Poole, Carnation Salinas, I love that name, Elizabeth Woodruff, Asefa Worku, Vicki Yarber, Lucille Ybarra, Jennifer Thompson, Chris Beagle, Tina Lowe, Kendall Jones, Esther Lucido, Jaya Marcos, and Debbie Wright. All of you who are here tonight, could you stand up just for a second? Anybody? Okay, here are all the graduates who are here tonight. Give them a hand. We have a certificate of completion that we'd like to give you after the service. You can pick it up out in the foyer. And also, we're starting our next round of Grow Tracks on February 12th with Grow Track 1, Discovering My Purpose. So you can sign up in the hallway, and you can also sign up online at gccsj.com.
More to come.
Amen.
Amen. Miss Ann, come on up here. We got a big-time award we're giving tonight. We're going to do this every time we get together. Who is it this quarter?
Oh, my gosh. This is someone who has been serving like for a bazillion years at least. And this man is incredibly faithful. And we love him a whole lot. And he is a man of perseverance. Lee Swander, come on up here real quick. I'll come to you. I can come to you. I'll come to you. I'll chase you down. I'll chase you down.
Thank you. Okay.
Lee, thank you so much. Thank you so much for all that you've done serving the ushers team and just leading with just, you know, great excellence. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Ann. So anyway, that's the flavor of what we want to do. We're going to be holding these on a quarterly basis, recognize individuals, hear what God has been doing, get some testimonies, and on a regular basis, hear about the goodness of God. And so we'll be talking to some of you. Bring your stories here. We got a story to tell. Amen. There's a man of God in the house here that is back from Hawaii, 2 weeks sitting on a beach, all refreshed, ready to roll. I mean, he's heard from God. Let's stand up. Pastor David's in the house.
You know, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, he got that wrong, but I thank him anyway. What do you guys think about Pastor Chris Cobb? Great leader, right? Come on. Well, 2 weeks on the beach. How many times did we make it to the beach in the last 4 days? The first 5 days were conference. We get there twice? Got to the beach twice. It was nice. Well, I know. All right. You don't feel sorry for me. All right. You knew Lee Swander was gonna happen in his life because he was sitting, not standing at the back. Direct. I turned around and said, "Who are you? You're Lee Swander. You don't have a black shirt on and you're sitting behind me. What is happening?" Thank you, Lee, for your great. And you know something about Lee, he serves while he lives and deals with incredible physical pain. And this guy is the Energizer buddy, and he just keeps going for the house of God. We appreciate that so much. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let me just share a few minutes about something that's been a big part of my leadership focus with our team, with our staff, with how the Lord is dealing with me concerning where we're going in the future. And one word that is just so important for all of us to understand. For us to be successful, for us to fulfill the call of God that the Lord has for us as a church and for us as individuals. And that word is engagement. Everyone say engagement. Do you all have your handouts? Okay, grab your handout and let me walk you through. We're going to start with a story from the Old Testament. Then I'm going to walk you through a little bit of leadership stuff and how each of us can be sharper, better, stronger for the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. It's at the top of your teaching outline right there. And it says this, Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to me, that is Nehemiah, sent a message to Nehemiah to meet them. But I realized, Nehemiah says, that they were plotting to harm me. So I replied, I am engaged in a what? A great work. So I can't come. I won't come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you? I see a couple of things in this story that are so real to me. First of all, the power of engagement, the power of staying engaged, getting engaged. What does it mean to be engaged? We'll talk about that because I want to break that down. Engagement is the first piece that I see. And then the spiritual warfare against a person who is engaged. Nehemiah was doing the job that God called him to do, and the enemy just hated that. He just wanted to knock Nehemiah out of his place. And so he couldn't do it through, and if you read the book of Nehemiah, there's so many ways that the enemy came and tried to discourage him. And how many of you have found that as you serve the Lord, the enemy wants to hit you as well? I think we heard some of that tonight. But Nehemiah, what I admire about him, he's so strong. He said, you know, I'm not going to come down and get involved with you because I'm involved with something great. I understand that what God has given to me is important, it's vital, and I'm not coming down off this wall. I'm going to finish the job that God has called me to finish. And Nehemiah went on, and because of his labor and his work, and because he stayed engaged, and because he wouldn't let the enemy distract him, he finished the wall, and the people of Israel in the city of Jerusalem experienced safety, and they experienced God's protection, and they experienced the benefits of that wall being built. Everyone say, great work. It was a great work that Nehemiah was doing. I have to tell you that in all of my years, 36 years, I think, full-time for our church here, I have never been as excited as I am today, right now, about what I see God doing in people's lives. I'm not talking about the building or some of the fun things that we're doing in that way. And it's always great when you get a new camera or a new light or a new microphone. But I'm talking about people. What God is doing in people's hearts and in people's lives is astonishing to me. The traction that we have, the energy that we have in our outreaches. Maybe at some point tonight we could mention what's happening in the outreaches. People are coming to Jesus. How many, what was it in January or December you told me how many people got saved and through the Eden Vale? And 20 people just in the last few months of last year, just after we started, 20 that have come to the Lord. And they're having a weekly meeting now with outreaches, but 20, 30, 40 people are engaged in. And people are coming to the Lord. Then I see what's happening in Lyft, and I see what's happening in Reality, our high school group. I see the surging of the creative ministries and everything that's going on. I'm excited about it. Now, let me talk about, because it is a great work, but let's talk about the word engagement. You have here a definition. What is engagement? The act of engaging, to come together and interlock. To get and keep someone's attention, interest, and involvement. To attract and hold by influence or power. Emotional involvement or commitment. The state of being what? In gear. To be engrossed. I mean, to me, this is an important concept. The related concept, I'm plugged in. I'm interested. I'm participating. I'm involved. I'm feeling a part of. I'm an insider. I belong. This is all engagement language, all right? Very important kind of language. Opposite of engagement. What would it be like or feel like to be not engaged? Disconnected, bored, outsider, disinterested, uninvolved, not a part, I don't belong. How many can see the difference between engaged and disengaged? Now, what do you think is healthier for a believer? To be engaged or to be disengaged? Engaged. Nehemiah said, I'm engaged and I'm staying engaged. I'm not going to come down off this wall. I'm going to be a part of. I'm in gear. I'm doing what God has called me to do. I'm engaged. I'm not watching from the sidelines. I'm not letting someone else do it for me. I am personally involved here. And this is so essential for us. Why is it essential in a church that people be engaged, that leaders be engaged? Well, first of all, engagement is the core of what makes any organization work. I don't care if you're talking about a baseball team, a Super Bowl championship football team, if you're talking about an insurance agency or a nursery team or anything, if people are disconnected, uninvolved, bored, sitting on the sidelines, that organization is absolutely not going to work. It's going to fail. But next, I think it's important for us to realize that for a church to actually be a church, engagement is essential. That's the secret sauce of a church, that people be involved. There are churches where people come and watch, but they're still on the outside looking in. What churches need to do is to strive to have everyone engaged in relationships, engaged in prayer, engaged in the work of God, involved in their position on the wall so that the heart of the church is fulfilled. Ephesians chapter 4 spells it out very clearly. Leaders equip people and people engage in the work of ministry. Bottom line, here's the third point under why is engagement essential. Bottom line, engagement changes lives. Pastor Carol mentioned our vision is inspiring, transformed lives. That means we're in the business of changing people's lives. We want to create atmospheres and experiences and encounters where people's lives change, right? And so that's, God uses engagement to transform us from what we used to be to what we are becoming. When you engage in worship, when you engage in a small group, when you engage, when you're engaged in ministry, when a person, more importantly, because I'm not so worried about you because you guys are great leaders, you're healthy, you're strong, you're mature. But when you see somebody coming into your world and they get engaged in your world, they start growing, you say to yourself, here's a person whose life is going to start changing big time. If a person just comes and sits on the sideline and they don't get involved, their life doesn't change. But the minute they start getting involved with what you're doing, children's ministry, youth ministry, whatever it is, whatever you're drawing them into, they're becoming a part of, now their life is starting to change. And that's why we don't ever apologize about our desire to see people engage. We want them in your small group. We want them on your ministry team because we know if they get connected with what you're doing, what God is doing through your life, their life is going to start changing. How many understand what I'm talking about? Pastor Albert was telling me, Pastor Albert, run up here if you can. Where are you? Oh, it's going to be Jenny? Oh, well, Pastor Albert's getting coffee for the second time today. He's walking in with coffee, but it is going to be Pastor Jenny. Okay, there was a little discussion about who's going to share this. She was just telling me before church about, is it Moses and Monique? All right, Monique. And let me just ask you a couple of questions because you were just telling me about this before the service. Where was Monique at before she got engaged? How was her life going? What was happening that you can share publicly?
Yeah, she was struggling. She was someone who was really lost, nowhere to live, single mom, and just trying to make it work, but everything she tried just wasn't working.
And then she came, do you know how she came to the church? How did she come? And then how did she get engaged?
So she actually had come years ago to Reality as a youth. Someone had brought her. So she knew about Gateway, and she came a couple times in between them. But every time she would try and go to a different church to try and find hope, she just couldn't click. And when she would ask someone, where should I go? They would say Gateway. So she's like, I'm just going to go to Gateway. So she came in August with Moses, and she gave her life to Christ. They both did on that day.
And what's been happening in their life that you as a pastor, Pastor Jenny, you're watching God work in their life. What's been happening in Monique's life since she got engaged that probably wouldn't be happening if she hadn't gotten engaged?
So I've seen major transformation just from August until today. When I first met with Monique, she was so hard. And it wasn't because she was mean, but it was because she was hurt and she was guarding herself. And we began to just talk, and we began to get together, and she began to engage and lift, both her and Moses did, and they began to come here every Sunday, and so they connected to Lift. They've been there every Thursday, but the biggest thing that she said, I asked her, what has been, like, your biggest victory to date? And she said, well, I was a runner, She said, I would run from everything. I'd run from my problems. I'd run from my pain. I'd run from the hurt. I would run. She goes, but being here has caused me not to run. Because when she wants to run, there's people that say, you're not going anywhere. You're staying here. We're going to help you get through this. And so it's helped her to stay and face her life today. She knows it's because choices she's made from a long time ago, but she's being able to face those problems today because she knows that God's going to come through and provide a better life for her and her family.
Pastor Jenny, thank you for sharing that with us. I appreciate that. Monique, would you stand up and just let's give Monique a cheer because she got engaged. Now, here's the thing that I'm going to say. I'm not going to say that Monique can't be attacked by the enemy. Because she can. But here's what I will say. I will say that because she is engaged, she has found community. She has found family. She has found God. She's found faith. She's found all those things. How much better off is Monique tonight? Because, and we all are. Thank you, John. You're right. How much better off is she and all of us? Because we have family, because we have a sense of purpose, because we are engaged. Right? Right? So let's give the Lord a clap offering for that, for what God is doing. And that just goes to what I'm saying is that engagement is what changes a person's life. So if you're here tonight, and I don't think I have time to finish this whole outline, but if you're here tonight and you're thinking, I don't know, should I connect into a place of ministry? Should I take the next step? I want to encourage you that engagement, right, getting connected into it brings benefits to everybody. It brings benefits to the house of God. It brings benefits to you, and it makes you strong. And if you're a leader here tonight and you're saying, really, what's my job? I'm working in the cafe, or I'm serving in nursery, or I'm an usher, or I'm a small group leader. What's it really all about? What am I supposed to do? I want to challenge you to see yourself as an engaging leader, to see yourself as a Nehemiah, first of all, that will not come down off the wall. You're going to stay on your job, but you want to get other people involved in the work of God as well, because when you get them involved, they become so strong, and the house of God becomes so strong, and the benefits really are incredible. There are three things, if you drop down to what great work should I engage in at Gateway, I'll wrap this up here in the next minute or two. The three great areas that we want to get people engaged in, we heard every single one of them tonight, so I don't have to elaborate. The first one is our gather priority. Everyone say gather, right? If you ever forget what these priorities are, we've made it easy for you because they're in 12-foot letters on the outside of our building. All right? If you ever get confused, just go outside. Everyone say gather. All right. So we engage in community, and that's what several mentioned already tonight, getting people involved in community. We're a family. We serve together. We do life together. This is all about relationships. The second priority is we grow. It's gather, grow, go, and the second part is we grow, and that is we engage people in equipping. You heard about Grow Tracks. You heard about Gateway Healing Network. You heard Pastor John talking about training. All those priorities is helping people. This weekend, some of us are going to a marriage retreat. We're getting people equipped. We are a training center, and we teach people how to do ministry, how to do life. We train and equip, and that's the second piece of our strategy. And third, it's gather, grow. Oh, you know what? Is that a typo? Whoever did this is fired. I did it. It's supposed to be gather, grow, and the third one is go. Not gather, grow, grow. Who can I fire? If I made the mistake, there's really nobody I can blame. I just got to take it. That's embarrassing. All right. It's gather. What is it? Gather, grow, and that's the outreach. See, we are a rescue mission. We are the first responders in our community. We are there with the gospel of Jesus Christ to share the good news of salvation, to share the good news of the gospel with people. Finally, in closing, You say, Pastor David, how can I be a relational, how can I be an engaging leader? And there's just two words I want you to write down. Number one, be relational. I loved what Kurt said. It's all about relationships, you know. Build relationships. If you want to be great in ministry, whatever your ministry is, be relational. Be relational. Love people. Talk to them. Learn their names. Get involved in their lives. Ask them what their story is. Get connected on a personal level. It's not about our titles. It's not about I'm in charge of the choir or I'm in charge of the horn section or that's it's not about your position. It's about relationships. Amen. And you as a leader in our church, you as a volunteer, a helper in our church, you say, what's my job? My job is to be relational, to love on people, to get involved in their lives. You don't have to know everything about the Bible. You don't have to live a perfect life, but you've got to get into people's lives because it's all about love and relationships. And then number two, here's the last thing I'll say tonight, is to be not only relational, but be invitational. If you ask people, how did you get into this church? How did you get involved? How did you become such a great, strong Christian? You'll find out that somebody invited them. How did you become a part of the worship team? I was invited. How did you get to the Gateway Healing Network? Somebody brought me. Somebody invited me. If you see yourself, look, don't worry if your program is not in the bulletin every Sunday and it's not on the announcements every Sunday. Don't worry about that. You reach out because announcements and general calls and all that, that's not what gets people connected in. That's not what gets them engaged. What gets a person engaged is if you are relational, if you love them, talk to them, help them, serve them, and then ask them to get involved with what you're doing. So if you're running short of people in your area of ministry, man, we can't find this guy or that guy. We need two more couples or we need one more guy over here. Start getting relational and ask people, hey, have you ever considered working in the cafe? Have you ever considered working in the media department? Would you be willing to try being an usher? And you will find out. Some people will say no, but many people will say yes. So be relational and be invitational every time you walk into this building and you watch how many lives God uses you to transform. We're going to have a million Moniques before this is over. Amen. We're going to have a million stories and we're going to tell stories in heaven of the transformed lives and the people that were changed because you didn't come down off your wall and because you got people building with you. Amen. I want to pray for you. Father, I praise you for these amazing men and women. Some have been involved for so long and some are just considering involvement. Lord, teach us the power of engagement. Teach us to inspire many people to build a strong church that gathers, that grows, that goes for the lost and makes a difference in our city through the power of your Holy Spirit, to the good news of the gospel message, and because of our love and our connection with them. I praise you for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Chris. Here he comes from 2 weeks on the beach.
I wish. Let's give it up for Pastor David. Was that good? Come on. So this is our first Team Gateway rally, and so we're trying this. Give us suggestions. You know, here's kind of the flow. We want to hear celebration, testimonies, get a good word. My job right here, right now, is to kind of give you a glimpse of what we're going to be focusing on in the next quarter. While you were sharing, I was just kind of just going through my mind. I literally wrote down 26 projects we're working on right here, right now, and I promise you this, Gateway in 1 year from now, if we're doing everything we're supposed to be doing and obeying God, getting all the teams ready, I mean, we're working on local outreaches. So we got this one at Edenvale, 20 souls in the last 6 months. Okay, we got 10 other locations we're going to penetrate. Where's Catherine Kong? Catherine, come on, raise your stand up. Just give it up for Catherine. She's working on some great things for outreach. We got short-term missions. We got stuff going on with Impact. How many would like to see Impact online so people can take? I mean, there's a lot of things we're working on. But, Natalie, if we can just throw up here, I want to just give you highlights on two areas here that we want to focus in on engagement this coming next 3 months. We got a lot of stuff we're working on, but let's just lock and load on a couple of things here. I want to just talk a bit about what we're doing with small groups, and then Ann Delgado is going to share a little bit about Team Gateway. So every time we get together with one of these rallies here, we want to just continue to unfold to all the leaders some things that are coming so that we can begin communicating and know where we're going. So let me just talk about small groups here. This morning, Pastor David talked about, if we go to the next slide, our Pursue series. So starting February 6th, as you've heard, we're doing a six-week study on Pursue. We're encouraging everybody. It's not mandatory. Some people are doing different studies in different groups. But what we're doing is creating an opportunity for new people to start new groups. We give you the books. We're putting all the videos online. All the studies will be available online. So after Pastor David preaches on a Sunday, within 24 hours, right, Brett? They'll be online, and we'll be able to email that information out. And we want to make it easy so that anybody that comes brand new to Gateway, say on the fourth week, they can go into a study and hear directly what they heard on a Sunday morning. So there's a lot of benefits of this here. And I just really believe there's going to be some great fruit from the Pursue study. So we're making available host kits, startup kits, videos, and then people can get signed up in the foyer, et cetera. Encourage new people to come and get involved with the Pursue study. That's going to be great. And then the next slide here was some new things we're encouraging people to do coming up here soon. The goal of what we want to see this whole year, we want to start embedding some of the culture of what we want to see in our small groups. We want to see every small group, every time we get together, spend a few minutes praying for the lost, adding to the group that element of evangelism. How many would know that once you start praying for the lost and you start seeing fruit from that come in, every group starts to be able to catch the vision of being able to see people come in? And then the second thing, Pastor David and I were talking about it this morning, we want to make sure everybody gets water baptized. If you got people in your group, ask them, have you been water baptized? We're going to make that one of the earmarks, and we're going to set the tank up. We're going to have some T-shirts. We're going to promote it. We want to get people baptized. Amen? And then number three is the Gateway Healing Freedom Weekend here. So Pastor John talked about the Gateway Healing Center. One of the things we're doing is wanting to make it available on a monthly basis. So everybody in this room, you probably know somebody that needs a touch of the Holy Spirit for healing, emotionally, bondages, whatever. We want to make it available on a regular basis. How many know that that would be a tremendous blessing when you got people, you know, you come in and get set free? Can you imagine what would happen at Gateway? People come in, they get baptized, they get set free, and then they begin to get anointed to go multiply themselves. And so encourage your people to come to February 19th. That's when we have our next one, right? We're going to be talking about strongholds and freedom in Jesus. So encourage your people to come. And then the Grow Tracks. We want to really encourage. And Grow Tracks is a support for all the small groups. And so you know people in your groups, or you know people in your ministries, baristas or whatever, encourage them to come to get equipped so that they can become fruitful in the kingdom as well. Amen? That's a resource that's available. And then lastly, who do you know that may be a leader in a year or 2 years, and you can start speaking into their lives? It's just like Moses over here and Monique, where are you at? Over there. Who knows that you might be a leader here in the next 3 years? I don't want to put you in a position there, but there's people all around us here that are leaders that God wants to raise up. How many know that God can use you to help encourage somebody else? So my point is, with some of these emphases here, you're going to hear these more and more this coming year of where we really want to see what our small groups are doing. Amen? So go to the next slide here, and we're going to show you. We have a new small group training coming up March 5th, Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, same time as our Grow Track, and it's a brand new small group training. We're encouraging everybody in this room to come. You may be a veteran small group leader, but come and just get knowledgeable with some of the tools that we're using to emphasize where we're going off into the future. And we're encouraging all the current and new leaders, if you know somebody that is even halfway interested, bring them. So you'll be hearing some more about this here coming up real soon. And so we got a lot of things we're working on, but every time we get together, we want to emphasize what we're really looking at in the months to come. Amen? So now I'm going to turn it over to Ann Delgado. You're going to talk about Team Gateway, how everybody can get involved, et cetera. Let's give it up again for Ann.
Thank you, Pastor Chris. Well, you know, I'm just going to emphasize on what Pastor just went through. My opportunity in serving here in God's house is really being the glue to You Belong. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, You Belong.
You Belong.
Go ahead and say, You Matter. That's right. It's Ephesians 4, 11, 12. The leadership here in the house is super strong, but God wants to build the house on your life. And just think about it. If you weren't here every Sunday, Lee, if you weren't here Sunday, what would happen? Be a little cray-cray, right? Just a hair, right? If we didn't have worship team, God builds the house on His people. So how does He do that? Tonight, if you're new here and you're like, you know, I really want to get plugged in. Well, great. We got a lot of open positions. You can take a connection card, fill it out, just your name, your email, and then I will respond back to you quite quickly with your next step. And then if you're like, gosh, I'm not really sure how God's wired me and what my gifts are, hit up Discovering Your Shape Grow Track 4, and that's going to be a couple months out yet. But those are two real quick options. And then, of course, tonight, just come see me in the foyer. I can go through a list of options that God is exploding here in the South Bay through Gateway. It's pretty incredible. Whether it's in-reach, serving here in the house, right, building up ministry, whether it's outreach in our communities or reaching the world, God's got a place for you. Amen? Yeah. Pastor Chris.
All righty. Good. Well, I'm finished. That's all we got. But I don't believe the Spirit of God is finished, though. Pastor, we talked earlier about a commissioning right now. I really believe prophetically that everybody in this room here, there is a measure of the anointing that the Lord wants us to carry into the weeks and months to come. Pastor David, if you can come join us up here and lead us in prayer. My sense is that there's brand new people involved. Beverly, thank you for coming out tonight. But there's an anointing, I believe, we want to that carries with that pursuit that you're going to be launching here soon.
Yeah. I'm thinking about Nehemiah and that place on the wall that every one of us has. I'm also thinking about how the enemy works so hard to come against the Nehemiahs. I see every one of you as a Nehemiah. You're a builder. You love, you care. You wouldn't be here if you didn't care, if you weren't engaged, if you didn't have a heart and a passion for people and a passion for God's house. So I think what I'm going to do is ask the Lord to anoint you as He anointed Nehemiah. That you would truly build for God and that what you would build would last. That it would be so eternal and so significant. And then second, that the enemy would never be able to knock you off of your place on the wall, because he wants to. He will try. But I believe that there's a strength that comes from the Holy Spirit, that when all hell is breaking out against you and every devil in hell is saying, you're not important, you're not needed, what you're doing doesn't matter, that there's a strength that comes on you that says, no, devil, I am not coming down off of this wall. I'm going to build. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. If you're ready to receive that, if you want to be kind of like a spiritual Nehemiah in your day, I want you to stand and I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. I'm so proud of each and every one of you. Thank you for coming on a Sunday night to connect in. These are things we can't really, you know, spend a whole lot of time on Sunday mornings focusing on. But I tell you what, you're the guys and gals that are making it happen. And I appreciate every one of you. I appreciate our staff. I appreciate our elders. I appreciate every volunteer, hundreds of volunteers in our church. Now, Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, would you just lift your hands as a sign of your hunger and your desire to receive a special touch from God. Father, I pray that you would make every man and woman in this room a builder of the kingdom of God, a steadfast Nehemiah. I pray, Lord, for a release of such a fervent and clear sense of purpose and calling and clarity that when confusion comes, when discouragement comes, when fear comes, distraction comes, that you will grab hold of them, literally take hold of them, Lord, and hold them steady in their place, Lord, so that they can continue to build for you. Father, I pray that the same tenacity, the same authority, the same spiritual power and calling that was on Nehemiah will be upon every one of us, Lord, that we would see, Lord, your work built in our day, Lord, big time, big time, that you would build your church through us, Lord, and that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, because the church is the hope of the world, Lord. It's the church that really brings change into people's lives like nothing else can. So, Father, thank you for connecting us together. Thank you for making us relational leaders. Thank you for making us invitational leaders and anointing us the supernatural power of God. Lord, let this next few months be a major step forward in every one of our lives. Closer and closer to you, Jesus, in personal relationship with you, and stronger in our purpose, Lord. And I thank you for that. Come, Holy Spirit, rest upon us. And we praise you and we thank you. We honor you, Lord, for the privilege of being a part of your work in the earth, Lord. Jesus, you are building and we are a part of it. And we are honored and we say thank you and we praise you and we bless you. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap, guys. Praise God. So we're going to take a break here for a few minutes, 10-minute break. And I would like to invite the Gateway elders, if you're a part of our eldership team, after about 5 or 6 minutes, if you guys would come back in here, we're going to close the doors. We'll huddle up. Let's all sit here on this side. The Gateway elders, we'll come back over here and we'll just talk and share and have, 20 or 30 minutes together. All right. For tonight. But right now what's available is some snacks and some fellowship. All right. So God bless you guys. You're dismissed. Go grab a snack in the cafe, rejoice, give testimonies with each other. And then the Gateway elders in about 5-10 minutes, we'll come back.